We are now, huh?
Yeah. Okay, today is May 13th, 2018. So, either one of you, what is your name?
Kelly McCarty.
And?
Travis McCarty.
And where do you live?
Ashland.
Ashland, Kansas.
Okay. And what is your occupation?
I'm an accountant.
I'm a veterinarian, and I'm also a rancher.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 30.
37.
Okay. This is for one of you to start. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
Well, I knew about it before Travis did because he was at a feed yard. And I think we came back from lunch that day, and there was a bunch of smoke down southwest of here. And then tried to get a hold of your dad, Mike, and he was out on a tractor doing fire lines, and so he was kind of hard to get a hold of, but that's whenever, shortly after lunch, when we first heard about it.
Okay, when did you, Travis?
Well, so I remember that day I was in Montezuma and at a feed yard, and the wind was just horribly bad, and my dad in the morning sent a text saying that he was nervous about the day.
Yep.
And but typically I don't answer my phone on the first ring from my family because we have a little code. If it's more than one, it's usually an emergency. And as after lunch, around 12:30, I got a phone call from Dad, and say about the same time I got a phone call from Kelly. Both times I didn't answer. And then got a call back, and I could hear quite a bit of panic in the voice. And I think it was around 1 o'clock when I left the feed yard. The feed yard manager.
I think it was later than that, because you stayed to do all your finishing stuff.
No, him. No, I was going to.
Well, you kept
arguing on this. Do you?
That's good. You won't be the first. Won't be the last.
Well,
no, I didn't. I know they told me to leave.
But it seemed like it took forever for you to get there.
It did.
You're like, well, we gotta go move those cattle. And I was like, you better get here.
Yeah.
If you're gonna move those cattle.
Yeah. So we I don't remember what time I left, but it was about 1:30 in that time frame there because I'd eaten lunch. Because I was eating lunch, having a meeting when the phone calls were coming in the first time, and I wasn't able to leave the meeting. And then the guys I work with, they told me I need to leave. I got to the area around 2:30 is when I got back down to Dad's house. So
do you have a hired hand that helps out at your ranch?
At that time, Kenny Allison was helping my dad just do some part-time stuff at that point.
Just day work.
Just do some day work.
Did you have most of your cattle on pasture land or on wheat?
Probably all but 50 head of Dad and mine were on grassland, and 50 pairs were on wheat at the time.
So, what were your thoughts about? Were you needing to move them to keep it? Was fire headed your way? Did you know?
Yeah. So the biggest location. So Dad was on a tractor doing fire lines, and he kept telling us we need to get down to Sand Creek.
Yeah, he called and asked if I could go down to Sand Creek, which is closer to Englewood than their house.
And at the time, we're just looking at the smoke. We felt like it was pretty imminent danger to go down there.
Well, no, actually, I thought at first, because I went with Hayden Henderson, he jumped in with me, and it looked like it was the smoke was north of there, just on the highway. So I said to Hayden, I said, I don't think we need to go down there. I think we need to go around their house. Well, by the time it took us to get to their house and get in the feed truck and fill it with cake, it was just pitch black. And they kept coming on the radio saying, we got to get to McCarty's house. Well, it's a one-way road into there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Hayden, I said, I don't know where this fire is. So I'm like, we're at McCarty's house. Like, where is this? And I don't remember if I called someone. They didn't know. I mean, it didn't seem like no one had a good idea of where exactly.
Which way did you go out of Ashland? Did you go out the highway or did you go out
the highway?
Okay.
And then, went out the highway and took whatever that road is.
Yeah. You took the road west of Kyre Creek Bridge. I think it's Road 11, which goes south on my open range.
Right.
Well, in all reality, it was a really good thing that we didn't go down to Sand Creek, because I don't think we would have gotten
Well, at the time, so we were, when I finally got into the area, you were already trying to navigate where to go as I was driving down, because you were calling
well,
me asking.
Well, you got there just shortly after the fire trucks got there.
Right, which was actually Comanche County was there, because it was, I did. I pulled in there, because I was talking to Tyler Woolfolk, and he was like, all right, what do we need to do? And I'm sitting there talking to them, and they get paged to go to Gardner's at that point.
Well, they came in. You guys went out. Kenny went out and moved some cattle.
Yep.
And we helped get stuff rounded up. I went in and got stuff for your parents, like, you know, packs and bags, got medicines, paperwork, stuff like that, which because your mom was in here watching Asher that day. And then they filmed the house, I think.
No.
And Inglewood, some of the Inglewood crew was there too, but it was Inglewood and Comanche County at that point.
Yeah, Inglewood, because Bernie came in, Bernie Smith came in there, and like they basically literally just got there. I don't even know if TJ Harvey said that they did not film our house.
Okay. Well,
they didn't film Mom and Dad's house because they got in there and
the wind shifted.
And he came back down there and he put his finger on the house and he said there was no foam on the house a couple days afterwards because he came down and checked.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much stuff going on.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, basically, I got there and I told Tyler and the rest of the group, I was like, I got to go out and get these cattle in. And so Kenny and I got moved in some of my, Kelly and my pairs in to a pasture.
Closer to the house.
That was grazed more.
And when you're moving cattle, are you doing it on three-wheelers or are you doing it by horses?
We're on four-wheeler and a caker.
And driving them in with
a pickup. Yep.
But when we first got there, it was pitch black.
Pitch black. And actually, probably the first thing I did, though, when I got in there was I turned on the sprinkler system on Mom and I turned on the sprinkler system on Mom and Dad's house because it was winterized and still in the winterized mode. So I turned the sprinkler system on to try to do something for Mom and Dad's house. But then went out and grabbed the cattle and moved them into an area that was, we got some pens out there by Mom and Dad's house. It's kind of, they're grass traps. And
well, it was funny because at first you kept telling me to wait till you got there because you didn't want the babies left behind.
Yeah.
And Kenny just came, I didn't know who was in the pickup, but Kenny came barreling in and just moved them. And I was like, well, I guess we could have been doing that, but you just kept telling us to wait because you wanted to go back behind them and push the babies.
But I didn't know the severity of the fire, though,
right?
From my perspective.
Right. Yeah, at the time.
Because it moved so much faster than anybody thought that it, I mean.
I was picturing it was like a normal grass fire.
Yeah.
Was what my thoughts were, like, is this, like we always have one, you know.
Yes.
And so even though the wind was blowing, I was like, we'll have time to get stuff done. So I was like, just for me, it was easy for me being, you know, still a half hour away to be like, be calm.
Yes.
Because I wasn't on the ground.
So when you were driving back,
yeah.
Was the wind really buffeting you? Or
oh, yeah.
What kind of conditions was it driving?
It was, yeah, it was hitting me pretty hard, but I was driving really fast, though, too.
Yeah. The two together.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was hitting me pretty good.
So was it the fire pretty much through your parents' part by the time you got back?
No, but I got there and I hadn't got to my parents' part. So I was able to go and help finish moving some cows around.
Right.
Turn the sprinkler system on at Mom and Dad's while Kelly was doing all this other stuff. Your dad had showed up too at that time and to help.
He went up to the north house.
He went to the north house to try to help.
And he started moving brush away from that house.
And
which is about
the north house is where you grew up.
Where I grew up, that's correct. Yep. And then so we're down there and everyone else has left and I was the last one.
Well, because the wind shifted and it wasn't dark anymore. Like, it was light. I mean, you know, the wind kind of shifted so it was more west.
When you first went out there, was it coming from the southwest?
Mm-hmm.
And then it shifted to go straight from the west?
It was a pretty abrupt shift, and it went straight west.
Straight west.
Did still warm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was still warm at that point.
And it was blowing the smoke away? Or the fire was pretty much done west of you? Or was it coming from
like
a different...
It looked like it was.
But it wasn't.
It looked like it was. And I remember after they all left, I looked down and I could see a mile south from Mom and Dad's house into the gardener's, what they call the Burns pasture. And I could literally sit there and watch fireballs being thrown out. And I was like, mm-hmm. Then I looked over and I could see a wall of fire due west of me too. And I was like, crud, we need to get out of here. And Pat and Jerry Cryer were down the road wanting to ride it out. Mm.
Did you get them to evacuate?
Yes.
And did you guys all evacuate?
They were already gone.
Well, because he was still down there. I went up to the north house to help up there, and Hayden was still with me this whole time. And it was my dad. I don't actually remember if there was anybody with
Hayden.
Yeah, because you came up later. And the thing was, so I had everybody, all of their stuff loaded up, and I put Cody, their dog, well, Travis's dog, which is a red heeler, put him in the pickup. Well, I thought, oh, it's going to go by here. So I put him back in the barn because I thought, I don't want him to get stuck in a pickup for however long and, you know, not have to worry about that. So we get up there and we were trying to water down stuff, which the water flows about.
No, there's no pressure.
There's no pressure whatsoever. Okay. So we're trying to water stuff down. Well, about that time, you asked if it was still going to the west. Well, I have pictures and there was like this one lone fire, like flame. I mean, you know, it didn't look like much at all. Like everything was down south, west of us. And then like over kind of more west, and it's still south, but it was more west, off by itself. I mean, there's daylight between it. This one little fire. Well, within 5 minutes, I had pictures of the progression of it in this little fire, and all of a sudden it was this wall met up with the rest of it. And at that point, because you came and you were like, where's Cody? I said, well, I left Cody down there. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go get him. I said, no, you're not. I said, I'm not going to be a widow. Mm-hmm. I said, you're going to go with us.
So where'd you go?
We went up to the corner of the Ash Lingwood Junction.
Yeah, because at that point, when we saw that wall of fire, my dad goes, well, folks, I think it's time to go.
And I have no idea where Kenny Allison went to.
He stayed down at your parents'
house. He stayed down at my parents'. Well, he went out into a pasture. Mm-hmm. I think he went on to some wheat pasture. Like drove out into some wheat pasture, but I don't know.
Not for sure.
I don't know.
No idea.
And I don't even know if he remembers. Just with all the
black whenever we fast along later.
Well, because the fire. So we went up there and the fire went through.
Right.
Well, your mom called also at some point in time. There said they're evacuating Ashland, and she was in here with Asher. And I said, just get the dogs and go.
And where did she go to?
She went to the Inglewood Junction also.
She came out there.
And there's a lot of people up at the Inglewood Junction. Amanda Gardner with her horses was up there. A lot of people were up there.
Yeah. Were the police officers blocking traffic by that time?
It wasn't police officers. It was county.
Well, not at that point.
Statewide highway workers.
Well, no, because we came back into town to get stuff. Mm-hmm. Whenever your mom said it was being evacuated, we came up. We sat there, actually. When we first got there, actually, we were the first people there. Because it was me, my dad.
Your dad.
My dad and
Hayden.
And then we sat there and watched it, because I just remember thinking, oh, God, I left Cody. And
at that time, Glenn Loppy actually came down, too.
Yeah,
with a disc to disc the fire line.
You'd sit there and you just, like, I just remember sitting at the corner and in each tree row. I mean, it was just like you'd see flames go like 100 feet in the air and it moved so fast.
Yeah,
and we just sat there. Tree rows. Because your mom wasn't there. Yeah. Your mom wasn't there yet. She was on her way out and you said, there's my parents' house.
As I know where it's at, I mean, you can see it. If you know where you're looking, you can be from that intersection because you're looking down. And I was like, there went my parents' house. I knew, like, that it's gone.
But there's no way. I mean, you watched it, and you didn't think there was any way that it couldn't have gotten that.
Yep.
But just every tree, I mean, it was just the most crazy thing to just see. It was just like, you know, just...
But all the smoke was covering up the north house, too, so we didn't know...
Thought we lost both of them.
We thought we lost both houses.
Right. And at this time, do you know where your dad's at?
No. And well, not really. Dad, the whole time, he's sitting there yelling at me, like, why aren't you down at Sand Creek? He was like, in his mind, it's like, why aren't you down? Which is, that's where all of our cows were at. I mean, that's where the lion's share of our cows were at. I was like, Dad, it's not safe for us to go down there.
We would have gone down there. There was no
exit. We might have gotten killed.
We would have had to ride it out either, I mean, probably in a stock.
Because he's at Clausen's place.
Yes.
Which, from that area, he can see, he's like... You know, he knew where Sand Creek was at from his perspective.
Right.
So in his mind, he's like, why aren't you guys there? And we're like...
But then, so we watched it go through, and that's when we went back into town, because your mom was headed out. We went in to get stuff, to, like, pack our own stuff. Remember we came in here? You followed me, I think. We came back into town to pack our bags, because they evacuated Ashland.
Yeah,
because your parents' pickup governs out at a very slow rate of speed. And we were trying to book it to get into town. And
you came the highway?
Uh-huh, we came the highway, and they weren't... But it just shocked me that they were sending everybody east.
You went by yourself.
You followed me, though. You did, I promise. Because I had no room in that pickup.
No, that's right, because we did. Yeah, we got our bags back, that's right.
Why did that concern you that they were sending people east?
Because that's the way the fire was going. I mean, from where we were sitting at the Inglewood Junction, it was clear to the north and to the west. I mean, other than what was coming up from the south, I thought I would have sent people the direction that it wasn't moving.
So when you were sitting out there at the junction, could you see the fire that was up north of Ashland, up Buckland area, Lexington?
That's why you could see it.
You were focused down.
You could have seen it, but we were so like in the zone on the television on our own property.
Because I didn't realize there was anything up north, I don't think, at that time. Because when we got back, we came in, grabbed stuff, went back out there, and his mom and Asher were out there. And that's when I called my sister, and she said, well, what direction's the wind out of? I think that's when I called my sister. But I said, well, it's coming out of the... I may have called her when we were up there the first time, but she said... I said, it's coming out of the southwest right now. And she goes, oh, it's coming out of the north here. And it was like maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes after that, it shifted directions. It was cold.
Yes.
I think it was the second time, because I remember I thought, man, I wish I would have grabbed something because I was cold.
Yep.
Because it was really warm that day, right?
It was a hot day.
It was hot. That, yeah.
And then it just got down.
So after we did our clothes, we did go down into Mom and Dad's house.
And that was kind of scary in itself.
It was eerie because there was still...
You couldn't see anything.
We had electrical lines.
It was just blowing ash.
We're down.
It didn't even look like
it. And we were arguing... about whether or not we should go down there or not, but...
It looked like... I mean, you couldn't see anything because... And it wasn't like the ground was black. The ground was white.
Yeah.
I mean, but there was... There wasn't any charred anything. It just blew. It just blew right off.
And so we were down there and we were still able to use water hoses.
For a second.
A little bit. We got down there and Kenny was down there. And we all actually kind of all met up about the same time. And Mom and Dad's house was still standing.
Were you surprised? We couldn't
believe it.
Oh, absolutely surprised. I mean, it burnt 360 degrees around their house.
Well, and it burned, like, fences up. They have little decorative fences. Burned that. And then there was one thing. I went over. There was no hoses to hook up to the hydrant. So I went over and grabbed a bucket there was a bucket and it was sitting up against their wooden deck. I thought, well, I'll use that because there's no hoses. We couldn't find any. And when I pulled it away from there, it was full of ash and it flamed up. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was sitting up against that wooden deck. It was just one of those crazy little things that...
The sprinkler system was still going when we got down there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, there's that. And so, but there was little... all the trees around the house were on fire. One was on fire next to the propane, you know, right next to the propane tank. And so I had my...
There's little fires everywhere.
We're just trying to spray them all out. They have a barn that did not burn, but the lean-to right to the west of it suffered damage. But that acted like...
But it was metal, so...
It was metal.
Yeah, but it buffered it.
It buffered it.
From getting...
But I really don't know.
All the equipment was gone.
You know, I'm thinking maybe Mom and Dad had a metal roof, and that might have helped, you know.
Mm-hmm. Plus, the grass around there was pretty green.
It was pretty green, and they had a metal roof. And so
something for having to do something.
It is a little bit on a hill, slightly higher. So I'm thinking all those things helped it. But
And they've had all their trees have been, you know, trimmed back pretty well. Yeah, and all the dead had been cut out of them recently.
Yep. Yeah. So all those things were positives that helped that.
Did they do that because of the previous ice storm?
Previous ice storm, yeah. Previous ice storm.
And then before that, there was a windstorm, like maybe before Asher was born.
Yeah, because
a windstorm went through and just tore up those trees, and so they had someone come in. And
yeah, because the joke was they had the tree man John was getting. he was getting paid quite a bit recently,
but he didn't,
and all those things sure
helped out a whole bunch. Huh?
Yeah, because there's a lot of kindling there.
Was it dark when you made it to their place, or was it still?
It was still sunlight. It was still daylight, but it was
the
dark
way down there. It was, and it took us a while to get down there.
Well, it was dark because of all the ash and smoke.
Yeah, but then once we got down there, I've got pictures. You can see it's still super smoky. Like I think I grabbed something like an old shirt or something and wrapped it around my face because it was just so smoky. But then, you know, it started to clear off, and then there was sunlight, and you know, but it was just so smoky still.
But we're still trying to pull these hot spots, and all of a sudden, our electricity went out there because damage to the
lines are down.
Lines are down, and so those are things in the back of your mind you don't think about.
Are they live lines?
They're live lines. Yeah, I mean, we're looking back on that, it was not smart on our part.
They weren't up close to the house.
No, but just driving along, though.
Driving along. Well, it was kind of funny because you saw the progression on one of the poles, I remember. When we went down there, I remember it was still standing. It was just on fire. Well, then within the next 24 hours, there was no pole left. It had just sat there and ate that pole up. Yep. And it was just hanging.
So then there's one tree I really wanted to get out that was right next to the propane tank. And I remember I used my vet. I had water in my vet box.
Yeah.
Put that one out because I was like, it was going to, you know, hit that propane tank.
Well, and that was the other thing is you went to look for hoses, mm-hmm. and it was just Kenny and I there.
You started shoveling, didn't you?
Yeah, we started doing different things.
Shoveling sand.
But at that point, I noticed, like, I looked over and the horses were all crowded in one corner. Well, you could see, and of course it wasn't like a huge fire, but you could see the grass behind him was just creeping up. It was on fire. Just, you know, I don't know what you'd even call that. I mean, it was just like smoldering, basically. You could just see it creeping him up into that corner. And so Kenny ran down there and opened up the pasture, so they could get out to a different pasture. But it was just like little things like that bucket. And then, you know, noticing that, oh, the horses are, they're kind of cornered there. I mean, all those little things that,
yeah,
we're just
add up to the big part.
Yeah.
So where'd you spend the night?
I took Asher to Greensburg to my parents.
Dad and I stayed in Mom and Dad's house, at their house. And
what about your mom?
She went to Greensburg. She went to
Greensburg.
We also went down to Sand Creek that night.
Oh yeah, you and I did.
She and I did. We went. We did it a little. Little inventory of the cows. I was a part of the Anderson Creek fire, doing vet work on putting cows down the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I didn't want to wait until the next day. I wanted to look at them before my dad looked at them. That way I'd be a little prepared so I could buffer him a little bit.
Right.
And so we both went down there, and I probably shouldn't have taken my wife down there. It was pretty bad. I mean, it was bad. Even the cows around the house that we moved in, we thought we were doing right at Mom and Dad's house. Looking back, it was probably not the right move, but I thought it was because it was overgrazed.
Oh, yes.
But what happened was it pushed these cattle up into a corner. Had a little bit of a mob effect, and all the kindling just kept.
We would have had losses either way.
And it just,
but down at Sand Creek was bad, and that's whenever I said to Travis when we went down there, it was one of those things, you just praise the Lord that Hayden and I didn't end up going down there because it was just, there was nothing.
It
and they were all around the.
Hot.
The
fire was hotter.
The fire was way hot. Well, because at Sand Creek, there was an old barn there, and there was iron beams, and they melted. And, like, that's how hot it was.
Aluminum rivets and melted in piles.
They were dripping. I mean, like, they had dripped. There was droplets of
metal. It was super hot.
There was still cows standing there that were completely burned. I mean, you just, like, leather, but they were still alive. And it's like, how did you do that? How did you survive that?
There was dead ones.
Lots of dead ones. But it was.
Did you start taking care of them then, or did you?
Sun was going down.
It was hard to see.
It was hard to see, but we were just.
Did you have ammunition with you at the time?
I did not.
Yeah.
So you I did not.
Were you expecting it to that degree? I mean,
not to that degree. No, down there I was. Down there was horrible. It was a massacre down there.
Yeah, that was bad.
It really was. If it wasn't for the 50 head that we had on wheat pasture, our numbers would have been percents would have been way worse.
Yeah.
But that was, you guys moved everything off of it. Well, you put down what you had put down out there and moved stuff off. And then a couple days later, that was where, I was out there with an insurance adjuster and he was in my pickup cause he had a car and, which we've got a crew cab pickup, and kept thinking, you know, after that part, it was so weird because I know the wind blew, but you think of more debris being with a tornado and whatnot, but there was a lot of debris. For some reason that surprised me, but I kept thinking that I couldn't figure out if there was like this galvanized metal or what in the world, like something was out there. So he went, of course, and he stuck with me, so he went with me, and we went over and checked it out, and it was a baby calf, and it had been born 2 days before the fire.
Yeah.
And so the fire was on Monday, and this was on Wednesday or Thursday. And it just had somehow gotten missed, must have been hunkered down. So I, called Travis, and I said, Travis, we've got it. There's a baby calf out here. And, of course, you know, since I...
You're jumping ahead a little bit of a lot of things, but...
I knew that.
I know, but the reason why I couldn't go down there is we were euthanizing...
There was no... Trailers.
We had no trailers. We had no capability of doing anything. We were also busy.
Right. But
putting down other cows.
So anyways, I called Travis and he's like, we don't have any trailers to get this calf back. And of course, since I've become a mom, I am extremely sympathetic to a baby looking for its mother.
Yes.
And so I said to the guy, I said, I gotta load that up. And I said, you have a sec? I was like, I gotta do this. So I'm like, because if you don't want to, you can walk back to your car. But it was so hungry. It just let me go up to it. And I just picked it up and put it in the back seat of the pickup. And he goes, well, this makes for the most interesting claim story ever.
Yes. For sure. Okay, so the night, or Monday, the wind kept changing directions and it was ferocious there. Mm-hmm. But when did it die down?
I don't remember. Dad and I spent... We tried to do one asleep and one awake because you could look and you could see fire all around us.
Mm-hmm. It did die down sometime before that.
I don't remember. I just
Do you have any concept of when things happened that day or night?
No.
Or is it pretty much a blur all the way
once
together?
Once we got in the pickup to go out there, it was...
It's a blur. Yeah. Your pictures kind of help put things together a little bit.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, because it's just a blur. Yeah. I mean, even going down there when the sun was coming down, felt like it was just still 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But
yeah. So, what all did you lose in the fire?
For us person or dad, mom and dad's
the whole, I mean, yeah, you're
I mean, as far as numbers, I mean, we were just shy of 50% of all of our cows and calves died.
And you lost pasture land?
Yeah.
You lost fences?
Oh, yeah.
Buildings, really?
Buildings, so we had the barn and the corral system down in Sand Creek went down our, we have back at mom and dad's house, we have a cement slab that we have that was a commodity bunker. Actually, it got so hot it made the cement chip up. Burnt on the cement itself. So, and there's some permanent damage to that. That lean-to had pretty good damage. The barn, our working barn, is funny. There was no damage in there, but there was a little spot of hay that we had for baby calves that we used for bedding right in the middle of the barn. And there was a small 2-inch by 2-inch spot of burn in the middle of that. And that barn had been sealed so well that there was no oxygen going in there, and a little Some little ember must have gotten there somehow. Yeah. But there, since it was sealed up, it did not.
Didn't do anything.
So if one of us will left the door open.
Then that would have been a different story.
It would have been a different story. But, you know, tractors.
Drills.
Front loaders, drills, trailers.
We did have some stuff up at the north house that didn't.
Yeah.
Well, so, and the reason why the north house didn't burn is because.
No, there's no drills down there, but yeah, there's just but front loaders.
So you're talking
Bobcats,
tires?
Tires, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the hydraulics?
All the hydraulic lines, the bottoms of the floors. So we were lucky, I don't know, Kenny and I were doing, you said essence of blur, we were doing a lot of stuff that we, I don't know why, but when the winds shifted directions, we started trying to park. We were parking implements, you know, side by side, you know, one to the west, one to the east, and so we had our front end loader that was parked in one spot, and it blocked the that along with our so that one there blocked our Supreme mixer feeder. So they got that where we could still use it with our 4430. And then we had our tub grinder on another 4430 that blocked our, we have a harsh feed mixing truck that got blocked. And both those, our feed delivery mechanism implements got spared. Now we had no way of loading anything into those. But those got spared, and so the very next day, the good friend of ours, Daniel Mushrush, came down with a skid steer, because our Bobcat also got burned up as well, and a skid steer, along with some hay that they had, and then there's some other people from St. John, good friends, brought down some hay. We had to be careful we put the hay, because it's still smoldering.
Right.
So we had to put everything on the driveway.
Because they unrolled a roll of hay.
We unrolled a roll of hay, and it blew up, it burned up right in front of some cows.
I mean, just immediately.
Because it hit some smoldering pieces of cow feces.
Yeah. So they were the first volunteers that came to help? Or did you have some people show up during the night? Did you have lots of people calling you to find out how you were doing?
A lot of people calling us to find out how we're doing. No one came during the night that were out of town, people, because we told them we had no idea what, we had no idea
how to
assess.
Well, there's still active fires.
There's still active fires, had no idea how to assess any of the damages. You know, you're still hopeful, but.
It's dark.
Dark, you had no idea. But yeah, we had people calling us saying we're wanting to come down. And so, but Daniel left first thing that morning, the next morning, because it's about a 4-hour drive. 5 hours we've been pulling a trailer to get here. So he left first thing in the morning, got here in, I guess, he got here in middle afternoon the next day. But, yeah. Waking up the next, sorry, you're asking.
No, go ahead.
Waking up the next morning, though, with Dad was probably one of the tougher things to do. Just driving around and. Didn't say very much. Kenny got there the next morning, too. We just all three just drove around. Just shell shock. And we were driving around the area around Mom and Dad's house, just analyzing situations there. You know, about half the cows that were there on the house. You could tell they had been either died or burnt. Needed to be euthanized, something.
Right.
Just kind of assessing that. At this point in time, we still didn't have the ammunition. We knew we needed to get down to the Sand Creek and see where we're at there, because we figured the fences were gone and any live animals might be going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out, let's just go down there and see what we got. And as we're down there, I remember Shannon Artery called from Mullenville and called me up and said, what do you need? And I was like, we need four-wheelers. I don't know if we need a wheel corral. I don't know what we need, you know, as far as getting some cows. I was like, come down. Dad's not talking very much at this point in time. He's just, I think he's just but he's in shock.
Yeah.
And he's old, you know, he's older, and this is his life's work right here. And
he's not seeing very much positive.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I don't know. He's just not.
Well, it was in the middle of calving season, so you've just spent all this time.
Hard work.
Yeah.
Records, and we were celebrating.
Well, you've been up all night checking your heifers, yeah. And you've got these babies on the ground, and you're proud of these babies, and, you know, you've worked hard for them. Yeah. It's the middle of your harvest, and then all of a sudden you see it's them gone. All gone. And yeah. So that, I think, compounded it.
Yeah, and so when we're looking at these cows, and they're just kind of going. I got pictures of them. Just, they're, the ones that could, even the ones that shouldn't be able to move very well, they're starting to run. They're running all over the place.
How'd you move them? Wasn't it still hot?
Still hot. What we did...
Somebody came with a semi or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, so, well, Shannon got there. Shannon called, and I was like, who do you think we could get to haul these cows out? And we both agreed Mike Greenleaf could come, and Kenny had a good relationship with him, and I knew Mike. We knew him. Let's get Mike Greenleaf down here with Roger Stotz's semi. And so... Shannon called Mike and said, "Hey, I'm going down to McCarty's. Can you come down with the trailer?" So both of them came down. Mm-hmm. So Shannon and his son Rustin came down with four-wheelers. And they had another one for me to use as well. And so, no, Rustin didn't come down. That's right. Rustin did not. Okay. So Shannon, he brought two four-wheelers down. And so while we were waiting on him to come down, Kenny and I and Dad started trying to cobble up any kind of corral system holding with stuff we had there, and it's still hot to your hand. Still.
On fire.
Yeah.
Burning.
Burning. And that where we're talking about where that beam was going down, that was still extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gathering these. So we get the... we get something kind of cobbled together. And so we're trying to gather these cows up while we're trying to get them gathered up. Bob Conrady from Spearville, Dad's friend, came down. He had a four-wheeler as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting them moving. These cows were not one to drive.
Yeah, but not.
At all. And we ended up... And Bob had a friend with him as well. And then Mike had shown up, so we all were on. We got him into this little trap, and we got him foot, and we got them pushed in. We finally got them pushed in. And that was about noon by the time we got them gathered. So it took us about 3 hours.
So how many cattle are you gathering that your survivors?
I give you that number. I couldn't tell you. That was... probably about, at that time, 100 calves, and there's probably about 150 cows. Well, there's more than that. How many do we have? About 150 cows. Mm-hmm. And now we were letting cows back that needed to be euthanized. They couldn't
yeah.
move. And so... You know what the right move was. We knew if we kept these cows that did not need to be euthanized, if we kept them out there, they were going to run away and run towards the highway, Highway 283, and maybe get hit or
right.
all kinds of different things.
Well, there was nothing for them to eat out there.
There's nothing for them to eat, and so we're like...
And you don't have any hay left,
right? No, we have nothing, and so Mom and Dad have these little traps in there. Let's get them to the traps. At this time, Daniel had called, and he was there, and then there was another, and we sent Bob Conrady back, and then Dennis Noyes was there, too, and all these good friend, they showed up, and they were trying to patch the fence around the house, and they were doing all this while we're trying to get these cows, and so we got, because our holding traps had burned up, you know, they'd burn up, and so Daniel had some T-posts with them, and because he asked me, and it was funny because looking back on Daniel's like, you know, you're pretty coherent giving orders. at the time, I didn't think I was,
yeah.
But You know, he's like, so he loaded up a steel post, some hay, and a skid steer. And they went around and they put these steel posts somewhere. So anyway, then Greenlee started hauling these cows back.
When did your friends from Fowler get there? With the hay?
From St. John?
No, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
those
yeah.
are the ones that put the hay out and burn.
That's right. Hugh Bartlett came with two bales of alfalfa, and he put some, because he just called me, he goes, I'm coming, I'm and he put out a round bale, and it lit on fire.
I mean, it's like the cows came up.
The cows were eating
it, and then you just see, like, he unrolled it. The cows come up to it, and just the far end, the very first part of it just goes.
This is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. After
it's like watching a firecracker, watching the.
This is 24 hours after the fire came through.
So the ground is that hot still.
Yeah, 24 hours after the fire came through. And so.
So we started stacking hay on the road.
Yeah.
As a vet, and we have to euthanize all these cattle and wildlife too. Could you do the paperwork yourself, or did you have to have somebody come help you do that?
Oh, good question. I, at the time, you know, all these decisions we made, and they told me I could, but they kind of recommended that someone else, the third party would. So Dave Rethorst was down helping, so he came down and helped out on the day after, helping euthanize cattle. I mean, he goes, you use your judgment and whatever you've shot, I'm going to, because, you know, we're euthanizing cattle as we're going along. And then on the Sunday after the fire, we had what we called inventory day, where we were trying to match up cows,
see what who's orphaned and who's...
Because we're still calving.
Calving, yes.
And so... We were almost done calving, but we didn't know. So I had my, and I knew from the Starbuck fire that there is this length of time that you needed to let the cows will kind of, you'll know if the burns they sustained were going to be bad enough to have lifelong problems, which would be around the coronary bands, around the udders.
Mm-hmm. And coronary bands on their feet.
On the feet, yeah. So the hairline between the hoof, on the hairline on their hoof, the hoof wall. So, my cousin Kurt Vogel is a veterinarian as well up in Utica. And Kurt came down on Sunday, and he was on... So I'll back up a little bit. Dave was there on the day after to help put down the most imminent problems. Helped us sort cows that we could... helped us sort cows that we could send to Booker. And help to sort cows that we need to, continue with. So we had four different kinds of animals. We had animals that need to be shot right away. There's just no question about it. Then we had animals that we need to sort through that sustain these burns immediately that we could maybe send a Booker pack. And then we had cows that we need to euthanize that was potentially going to be a problem for the meat supply that we didn't feel comfortable sending to Booker pack.
Right.
And then we had cows that were okay. And so we sorted those the day after, 2 days after, to let them kind of settle down a little bit. So we had that group that we did. And then the following Sunday, after letting them sit, we did another sort, where we sorted through cows that had sustained bad enough burns that we missed the first time.
Well, you were analyzing more closely their hooves at that point.
So did you have a bunch of people come in and help you shoot cattle?
We did.
And did you have help digging a place to put them?
We did, yeah.
And did you do that all on your land? Or did you have to watch
water?
Well,
the ones that were at CK, you did it at CK.
No, in Sand Creek, we did Sand
Creek. Sand Creek.
We dug hold there. And then we, there's all these decisions that need to be made. And you're told, you knew you had to get them buried because they're going to start to smell and rot and be a
hard to move
problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we were going to dig a hole down south of Mom and Dad's house, but that's really close to the water table. Dr. Ethworth said you might want to make sure you. So we dug a hole.
Up on a hill?
Up on a hill away from anyone that was going to have any drinking water. Another spot. And then we had. And so Wade Wilbur came down with his.
Yeah.
With his. All his stuff and helped us load them up. And,
well, you had all the farmhouse guys come down at some point. And then, yeah.
They came down on Friday afternoon.
Is that your fraternity?
My fraternity brothers. Yeah, I had like 10 of them. I can't remember.
There was a lot. There was a lot of air mattresses here.
So what happened to the calf that you saved?
It got put down. And it was one of those things that I think I kept asking Travis, have you put down that calf yet? Have you put down that calf yet? Because it was just too hard to...
You know, we look back on
that. It was burned. It was like its fur was singed. And so you knew it was burned a little bit. It wasn't like horrible, but then it'd been...
Can we get Asher some food?
He's okay right now. It'd been singed, so it wasn't horrible, but it had been so long without food. Like, probably the burns would have been enough, but
then... His feet were burnt enough that we...
But yeah. it was just sitting out there just bawling. I mean, they all were, I know, but I don't know. It was just one of those things that it was just... I was like, we gotta put that down, please.
So were you out there helping, or did you go back to work?
Well, the day after, I left Asher up with my mom up in Greensburg, because I didn't want him around the smoke. And I came back, and I think I stopped by the office that day because I was supposed to have an appointment, which obviously...
It's tax season.
It's tax season. So obviously they figured out that I wasn't going to be there. Then the next day, I went back for a little bit, and then I ended up leaving for quite a while because I had to go buy ammunition for him and take it out there, and I helped for quite a while that day. I think I finally went back for most of the day on... because then I had to go take the insurance adjuster. Probably that Friday, and then, you know, the following Monday went back full time. But,
yep.
And when it came to euthanasia, back to one of your questions, I did a little bit, but Dr. Rethforce, I didn't realize how I can euthanize someone else's animals, and these, I was a little different. I know they need to have them, but he and Dennis Noyes did all of them, and I'm so thankful.
And it was one of those things that everybody, you know, me being female, everybody's like, oh, you don't need to be around this. And I'm like, this doesn't bother me. Sitting there and watching him suffer bothers me. Like, you putting him down, that doesn't affect me. But.
So how long did you continue to have, or things, effects of the fire show up in the cattle after the fire? Are you still?
We got them in the feed bar right now. We're
like,
still
what
seeing
kind
it.
Of things are you seeing?
Oh, so we lost about... So of the calves, I just went through and did an inventory here recently. So let me back up. I got to say something that was kind of interesting. I looked through the data on the cows, on the IDs of the cows that died, IDs of calves that died. Our best producing cows, so we keep track of weights and calving dates and all this stuff. Our best cows, I put quotes in the air, our best cows... laid down in front of their calves and protected their calves, and they got some of the burns that needed to be euthanized while their calves survived. And our less productive cows were the ones that didn't die. I don't know if there's mothering instincts in there. I can't. It's just observation from that. But afterwards, though, we've had about 20% of our calves after the time, I guess our cutoff for what we call fire dead, not fire dead.
Right.
20% of our calves that lived had actually, we've lost them from some sort of issues. A lot of that was because of, they probably didn't get colostrum if they were born within that time frame. Just the fact they didn't have a mother, secondary, secondary pneumonia issues, things like that, just lack of productivity. So, we're still seeing it right now. One of the things that we did was, two days after the fire, we got our cows kind of all together, and we're still analyzing stuff, and inventories. We had our bulls from our We forgot we had bulls that were put in the bull pasture that got burnt too, you know. Yeah. They were just out of sight, out of mind. And all of a sudden, driving along, and they were like a mile and a half away from where they're supposed to be. What are we going to do with these things? And so I...
Did you find them all?
We did. We had to euthanize one.
That's not bad.
Yep. And so we were happy with that. So there's being a veterinarian, there's scientific proof that sperm cells are produced 60 days. So events that happen today will affect sperm cells 60 days from now.
Right.
So 60 days from the time of the fire is when we want to put our bulls in. We like the AI and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I actually consulted with one of my colleagues up in Iowa that I work with, and I said, I'm a little nervous about waiting to put these bulls in for 60 days. So we had nowhere else to put them because all of our pasture had been burnt. We had no fences except for this little holding area.
Right.
So we just kicked our bulls in with our cows, which drastically moved up our calving date this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we see the effects this year because of management decisions that we made. Anyway, it's just kind of funny that...
Yeah, so what's the outcome been? Have you had pretty good calves, or...?
This year, yeah, not too bad this year. Our calving window was way long this year, but our...
Yeah.
I was pretty happy with the decision of putting them in earlier because... I'm sure that there was some sort of there would have been some sort of drop off in fertility on those bulls if we would have
waited.
So I was happy with that decision.
So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
My most vivid memory of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably. Probably watching it go through from up at the Englewood Junction. I mean, there was quite a few things that stick out. I mean, between that and sitting there in the pickup with Hayden as they're sitting there saying, we got to get to McCarty's house. And it's just pitch black. Because that was kind of scary in itself. But those are probably the two most vivid memories. I just thought... Because Kelsey, I think, was pretty sure she was pregnant. Yeah, she was pregnant at the time. And I thought, this is great. You've come out to help me, and you're going to come out here and get into some kind of trouble, and your wife's going to have to raise the baby on her own. But luckily, it didn't come to that.
That's good. So what's your most vivid memory?
Well, single most vivid memory? Single most vivid would probably be... When you and I went down to Sand Creek and looked at those cows, when you and I were together, probably number one. Number two would be waking up in the next morning with Dad in the house that night, and then the next morning with him seeing the aftermath. And the third was up on the hill, looking down and knowing that Mom and Dad's house was just that feeling that. But then seeing it still standing was was a good memory too.
A miracle,
absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, but going down to Sand Creek is the one I'll probably never forget.
A big one. Yeah.